Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast, a New York Jets audio experience hosted by me, Tyler, and we're back with another episode of the Game Plan Pod. Hopefully, you guys have had a great week thus far. The Jets certainly have, as they locked down some huge, huge deals. We recapped last week kind of the first wave of free agency and everything that came about with that. Tyrod Taylor, Javon Kinlaw, Solomon Thomas re-signed. I'm not sure. I think that was right after we recorded the episode. So that's a one-year deal per U Stadium and Connor Hughes. Corey Davis also filing for reinstatement into the league after retiring last summer. You know, he's still out there in the free agent market. The Jets rumored, you know, not rumored, honestly. There aren't many whistles going in terms of the Corey Davis rumor mill, but as of right now, you know, it's all quiet on Corey Davis' side there. The Jets also restructuring CJ Mosley's deal, so they actually kind of re-agreed to a new 2-year $17.25 million deal. $13 million and $250,000 of that is guaranteed. It replaced the final year of his old deal that had no leftover guarantees and was basically a void year. So the Jets get Mosley back on a pretty good contract. If you remember, Mike Maccagnan signed Mosley back in 2019 to that massive, massive 5-year, $85 million deal. So Mosley's here for at least the next 2 years on a $17 million contract. So that's kind of the recap, you know, from the past week or so. Definitely want to get into the past couple of days. I think we touched on Thomas Morstead coming back. He's switching to number 6. Good for Thomas. And the trade of Morgan Moses and all that good stuff. So before this week, the Jets offensive line was John Simpson, who they signed from the Ravens to play left guard. Coming from the Raiders, went to Baltimore for a year, and then coming to the Jets here now. He's the left guard. Center, Joe Tippmann, that was expected. Tippmann is expected to play center this year for the New York Jets. Right guard, Elijah Vera Tucker. They plan to kind of just, you know, put him in that spot, put him in one spot and hope he could stay healthy. I think that is a pretty good idea. You definitely don't want to move AVT around too much this year. Kind of get him stable in one spot, that right guard position where he could be an all-pro caliber player, right? We've seen it before with AVT, he's a very good player individually, and I think he's going to help this line tremendously just to gel overall. And then right tackle Morgan Moses coming over from Baltimore, who was with the Jets in 2021. Moses actually revealed today to Jets reporters that he played with a torn pec since week 4 of the 2023 season, so he recently got surgery on that 6 weeks ago. He's expected to be ready for training camp, so let him heal up and all that good stuff. But now we get into the nitty-gritty, right? Now we get into the big things that the Jets really accomplished over the last week or so of free agency, when things start to usually dial down for other teams, but not for the Jets, right? I mean, for the Jets, it really seems like they really picked up steam heading into the second, third week of free agency. So Tyron Smith, right? Tyron Smith rumored kind of be, you know, have heavy interest, right, from many teams, you would think, is a guy who's coming off yet another all-pro campaign if he stayed healthy. He was kind of in and out of the lineup, and he just didn't really play enough games, honestly, I just think, to be eligible. One of the best left tackles in the league when he plays, right? I mean, I believe he gave up, like, one sack over how many pass-blocking snaps he's had over the last couple of years. So Tyron Smith is a premier left tackle at 33 years old, and he's a New York Jet, right? So the Jets signed Tyron Smith to a one-year $6.25 million deal, or $6.5 million deal, which is all guaranteed. The deal can go up to $20 million with incentives, so that's playing time. Really good breakdown by Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated. He actually posted the breakdown of his incentives. It's kind of just, it goes up by playing time percentage. So if he plays, you know, 35% of the snaps, he gets X amount of money, right? So it is definitely a, you know, a very incentivized contract for the New York Jets. I think they've gone into this offseason not looking to spend over the moon, right? It seems like they kind of want to kind of stay in their price range, which is totally respectable, right? I think the Jets have their own way of doing things. You know, it hasn't led to many wins over the last couple of years, but it definitely has, you know, it's caught the attention of some players, obviously, here this offseason, and Tyron Smith accepting this deal that the Jets reportedly were not expecting him to accept, per Connor Hughes and multiple other Jets reporters. You know, it's kind of, you know, a nod to Smith and, you know, kind of his willingness to play on a team that hasn't had much success in the past. Smith having that success with the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't won a Super Bowl as of late, but, you know, they've made the playoffs. You know, they've had really good years with Dak Prescott when Ezekiel Elliott was there. Tyron has been kind of that, you know, cement block at left tackle, right? He's really that guy who you could rely on with running left. You don't really have to worry about your blind side all that much. Just make sure you get the ball out quick, as always, for any tackle. And luckily, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best in NFL history doing that. So Tyron Smith protecting Aaron Rodgers, two Hall of Fame players, right? Obviously, towards the end of their careers, respectively. But it's just unbelievable, you know, that the Jets were able to secure Tyron Smith, to lock down that left tackle spot, to have five solidified starters on the offensive line before the NFL draft is massive. I don't think I can stress that enough. The Jets have some flexibility now in terms of position. Who do you pick, right, on draft day? I've seen Brock Bowers' name from Georgia floating around. He's actually the betting favorite right now, I believe, to be a New York Jet, and I'd pick number 10. That would definitely be interesting, a tight end pick there. I don't think the Jets have picked a tight end that high since Connor Brady, right? It really seems like the Jets are in a spot to pick a skill player that they can, you know, develop at that spot and kind of have their own kind of George Kittle kind of prototype there at tight end, right? The Jets have not had that kind of talent. They haven't had the luxury to have that kind of young talent at tight end since their team has always had so many holes. But I think Joe Douglas and this, you know, player personnel staff has really done a good job at identifying where they needed to get better this offseason, filling the two bookend tackle spots, grabbing a guard after releasing Laken Tomlinson. I haven't even touched on the second biggest signing of the week. Some would argue maybe the biggest, honestly. But yeah, it's a testament, right, to Joe Douglas and I think the staff to not be ignorant and not just ignore the obvious. It seems like some spots were missed over the years with Joe. You know, people are speculating, you know, has Rex Hogan had too much of a mouth in the room when he was there? Or, you know, are the Jets more just willing to solidify these spots for Aaron Rodgers, and is Rodgers pushing the front office to kind of, you know, do things that he'll appreciate? I think it's common sense to get another wide receiver, a left tackle that you could depend on. Just needs to stay healthy, of course. That's why I'm, you know, fully on board with drafting offensive line at 10. Bowers is great. You know, if Roma Dunze was there at 10, if Brian Thomas was there at 10, you know, there's, you know, multiple avenues that you can go now with these tackle spots filled. But, you know, the Jets going offensive line at number 10 is definitely not counted out. So, with that said, I want to jump into the second signing of the week, which happened yesterday. Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams got released from Los Angeles as more of a cap casualty. It kind of seemed like he lost, you know, it seems like he also lost touch with the new coaching staff. They didn't communicate with him well, he said to reporters today. And it really just, you know, it seems to just, you know, fall out of touch in LA. So he's a New York Jet, right? Basically, a lot to break down here is the Jets secure him for a 1-year, $15 million deal, with the help of NYJ Matt on Twitter. I have to shout out Matt. He sent a Taylor ham, egg and cheese to One Jets Drive, and, you know, social team had some fun with it. And, you know, everyone had a laugh and then, you know, kind of got real. Mike Williams was eating the sandwich while he was signing. So that's awesome. You know, Matt's the best. He's hilarious. He posts funny memes all day. So it's awesome. I'm very happy for Matt to get, you know, him getting that recognition. It's just awesome. So, you know, I think Mike Williams, what he brings to a New York Jets offense is, unlike anything we've had since Brandon Marshall, right? It almost feels like we have not had a dependable big body receiver. And like Tyron Smith, you know, you have to stay healthy. Mike Williams, towards ACL, I believe it was week 3 or 4 of last season. He's rehabbing now, should be ready for week 1 per himself today. It's another guy. He hasn't missed too many games before that. I believe it's 7 in total, before 2023. So, I mean, look, you're looking at a guy, Mike Williams, who's a big body. He has the nagging injury every so often. It does feel like during the season, you know, there's weeks where he definitely has an injury that you have to manage, but I think the Jets will be smart. And pairing him next to Garrett Wilson is stupid. I think that will be one of the best tandems in the NFL for sure. Mike Williams, you know, Garrett Wilson pulls enough attention himself. Mike Williams is going to have to pull attention as well because, you know, he's a double team monster, right? He'll catch any pass that you'll throw at him, right? He's a contested catch monster as well. Garrett put it hilarious on Twitter. I think he said Mike Will up top where the kids can't reach it. So it's like it's true. I mean, if you throw it up top, no one's gonna reach it, right? I mean, corners aren't that big. Corners are not that strong to kind of climb Mike Williams to hit the top. So I mean, it's just a perfect compliment to Garrett, and he spoke on it today. He said, and I quote, "He kind of reminds me of Keenan Allen, a little bit similar play style. Great route runners. I feel like we can complement each other in that area." Garrett, he does have that Keenan Allen type play style where he could play both outside and in the slot like Keenan Allen, who went to the Bears, by the way. Not sure if we touched on that last week. I'm not sure if it happened last week, but Keenan Allen, a Chicago Bear. I think the Jets might play the Bears this year, so that should be interesting. But as I was saying, you know, Mike Williams brings a compliment that we haven't seen since really Brandon Marshall. I don't think he's going to be as good and dynamic as Brandon Marshall because Brandon was an absolute freak in the year that he was with the Jets, 2016 as well, but that was a down year for the entire franchise. So 2015, he was an absolute monster, you know, totaling 1,500 yards. Are we going to see that, or do we expect that from Mike Williams? Of course not, right? I mean, you expect, you know, 700, 800, 900 yards, a good amount of TDs. I think Mike Williams is a perfect target for Aaron Rodgers on that back shoulder. I'm thinking about a guy just, you know, kind of just running a streak at the 20-yard line and just coming down with it against anyone. And that's kind of Mike Williams, right? I mean, he's the guy you could depend on in the red zone and in those short yardage situations on slants if you need just like a big body to get a couple yards. I think, you know, Mike Williams is perfect at that as well. So I'm beyond excited for Mike. I think it's going to be a perfect pairing. Definitely, again, needs to stay healthy. He needs to stay on the field. But, you know, Williams is a premier talent in this league, and wide receiver too. Nonetheless, he could be a wide receiver one. And I think the Jets actually feel that way per Connor Hughes. They think he could be a bona fide superstar, right? As a number one receiver, it feels like. And 29 years old, coming off an ACL tear, obviously it's not the most ideal situation, but I think it is for Williams. I actually think, you know, he's coming into a situation where he's playing to earn it. It's not a fully guaranteed $15 million deal, so they'll have room to kind of, you know, he'll have room to play for incentives. He'll have room to kind of improve the team in every aspect. And it does feel like Mike Williams is coming in here to really help this team gain separation off the line and kind of just catch anything that comes his way. So welcome to Mike Williams. Welcome to Tyron Smith. Two guys who will, you know, certainly be used a lot in this offense. You know, obviously in different ways, but two skill position players. Left tackle, believe it or not, now is you got to be a skill position player, right? You got to move quick. You have to move off the line very quickly. And I was watching a YouTube video yesterday. It was from around 3 years ago. Tyron Smith kind of giving tips and tricks on playing left tackle, and he's still a super quick guy. You know, I know 3 years ago he was 28, or actually no, he was 30. Sorry. You know, Tyron is not actually the largest human. He's tall. He's 6'5". He's over 300 pounds, but you know, he looks lean, right? He looks very muscular. I saw a picture on X or Twitter. I believe it was from a fan or a Cowboys reporter. He looked just ripped, right? At that weight, it's ridiculous how he takes, you know, care of his body as a pro athlete. So, I mean, Tyron looks, you know, he's going to be phenomenal just for this locker room. And, you know, touching on what I said before about drafting an offensive lineman at 10, if you're thinking about Bowers or, you know, Odunze, that's great. But, I mean, you know, if you're talking Olu Fashanu or Talese Fuaga, imagine sitting behind Tyron Smith for a year. I mean, you might have to play, right? I mean, if Smith misses a few games, you know, you can't guarantee. It's actually probably highly unlikely that he plays all 17 games. So, you know, there's going to be another tackle coming in there at one point in the season. When has the Jets tackle played all 17 games? Other than Morgan Moses, it feels like, actually, in 2021. The Jets always have to shift their line around. They always have to, you know, put new pieces in and hope they stick. I mean, God's sake, Jake Hansen started games for the Jets last year, who I actually really respect. And, you know, the Jets re-signed Hansen, which I'm very happy about. But Tyron Smith coming in here, you expect them to play a lot of games, but, you know, you have to have a backup. And there are still guys out there, right, that the Jets can sign as a backup tackle. I think they still, as a backup, they have Max Mitchell, Wes Schweitzer as that guard center, and then Jake Hansen at guard. So a total of 8 offensive linemen, but, you know, you need more. And I think the Jets at pick number 10, they're not ruling out an offensive tackle, and I think they'd actually be very pleased with taking an Olufoshinu from Penn State and having him kind of redshirt year one. Might not even be a full redshirt year. Might have to get thrown into the fire by week 7 for a few weeks, per se. And, you know, Tyron Smith can teach him the ropes from the get-go, right? I mean, from training camp. So, you know, I think it'd be awesome, honestly, draft a tackle. I think it'd be very, you know, fortuitous for the Jets to kind of plan ahead and not, you know, you have Tyron Smith for a year currently on contract. He's going to turn 34. Does he sign another year with New York Jets if, you know, they're that close, if they make the AFC Championship game and they lose? Could you see Tyron Smith coming back? Sure. I mean, yeah, I could see the entire team coming back if that's the case. But at this point, I think the Jets need to plan ahead a bit as well. And, you know, not even that much into the future. As I said, you know, Smith, extremely, extremely talented player, one of the best left tackles of all time when he's on the field. But, you know, are you planning for him to play all 17? You know, initially you are, but I mean, do you expect it? So I would definitely maybe try to go out there, get high quality depth, which would be amazing to get it from the draft. And again, I'm not anti Bowers. I'm not anti Adunze. I'm not definitely not anti Marvin Harrison, who I saw could fall today, which I think is just absolutely ridiculous. The fact that that guy's name is mentioned after pick number 5. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I would definitely look towards tackle. Just to, you know, fortify that line even further, definitely get some more depth in there. And yeah, so that's really, honestly, all I have for a nice 18-minute recap of the Jets free agency in week 2 and 3. With that said, the Jets did post a charity that I wanted to give a quick shout-out to that I donated to today as well. Since New York Jets Matt sent that TEC to One Jets Drive, it seems like a lot more food has been going over there over the past 24 hours. So the Jets sent out a link on X. If you go to at NYJets on X/Twitter, they link their Nourish NJ as that community looks to fight child hunger. So I would definitely look to donate if you're able to. That is Nourish NJ as they look to fight hunger in their community. So that's definitely a great cause there. So just open to donations there if you can. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and end the episode here. I really do appreciate everyone reaching out via Instagram, you know, via DMs, you know, questions, comments, everything. You know, it's so awesome interacting with you guys on a nightly, daily basis. And, you know, a weekly basis for this podcast. I wish I could do more. I do work a full-time job, so it's just tough to get episodes out on the day, like on the daily. Weekly is all I could really do right now, but I really appreciate everyone tuning in, downloading, subscribing, rating is always positive. So I appreciate everyone, all the comments, all the likes, all the interactions. It makes my day. It really does. So, I appreciate everyone and everything that has come from the Jets and NY Jets game plan on Insta, Twitter, and Threads as well. I guess I should shout that one out too. So I will see you guys next week for another episode of the Game Plan Pod. And yeah, see you then. Hopefully you guys have a great week and weekend.